whom I am well pleased, in our hearing, our speaking, our living.
May God's word of grace abound.
I said this will be informal. I don't have to have a cheat sheet, so. Baptism is something like the River Jordan. There are shallow parts and deep parts and muddy parts. If you've been baptized, you may have stories about that baptism or stories other people told about your baptism. And if you want to share those in a few moments, you're welcome to do that or any other reflection that you have about it. I love baptizing babies. It's so wonderful and such a joyous time. I also love baptizing adults because I know that adult has really thought this through and prayed about it and has come to a deep place of decision. So I especially love baptizing adults. There are lots of questions around baptism. They're always happening. The earliest church was embarrassed when Jesus got baptized. What did that mean? And ever since then, there have been arguments about it. If you read the back of the bulletin today, you see that very serious arguments about baptism. Back in the Reformation period, particularly, you could lose your life for being on the wrong side of baptismal debates, especially infant versus adult, or sprinkling versus immersing. So folks have taken that all very seriously. And I think that it's a good thing to wrestle with, not necessarily to drown somebody for having different opinions, but it's a good wrestling because it needs to be more than just a nice little ritual in the church. And, you know, when we wrestle with some, we have that opportunity to move into deeper water and deeper connection. There are many who hold to the Christian tradition, one tradition in Christianity, it's not the only tradition, by any means, that baptism is your ticket to heaven, right? And you have to, you're familiar with that one, that you have to get baptized or you don't get to go to heaven. That's certainly how I was baptized as an infant in the Catholic Church, that you had to be baptized. There just wasn't a good thing or bad about it. And there are many who hold to that. That's not my theology, and that's not what our theology is as a church. We don't believe that there's something magical that happens in baptism that suddenly God says, okay, here it is. And it tends not to be so in the ECC. We don't tend to follow that. So then what does it mean? We talk about baptism being an outward and visible sign of God's grace, and it's a time when we welcome a child or adult or a young person into the faith family. And if you really go, you can go very deep just in that. Those are good things in and of themselves. To go deeper, yes. It's good to look back at Jesus' baptism and to think about what's more limited. John the Baptist was in the Jordan River. Jordan River was the river the people of Israel had crossed through to finally, after being in the wilderness for years and years, finally claim their freedom. To finally be home. The crossing through the parted Red Sea, you remember that part of the story? And then the subsequent crossing of the Jordan, these have always had powerful meaning for Jewish people, for people of Israel. A very, very highly symbolic for them. It meant that their life together as a community, as a tribe, was going to be shaped by God's way now, not Pharaoh's. They were leaving behind the old ways of slavery and oppression and moving into new life, free of that, and into the vision that God has of a world where all of it. way. It wasn't so much about repenting individual sins. It wasn't so much, oh, you have to get washed clean if you cheated on your taxes, or cheated on your spouse, or beat up your neighbor, or whatever you might have done. It really wasn't about that. It was about leaving behind the ways that people had once again accommodated their lives now to Caesar. How they had left God's ways of caring for everyone and had bought into Caesar's way that some mattered more than others. That's what John was calling people to repent of. To repent from idol worship, from worshiping the false gods of wealth and power and status. So Jesus shows up, walks down to the water's edge, and John is just, totally thrown by this. You should be baptizing me, not this way. This isn't right. John recognized that Jesus was one ushering in God's vision of proclaiming good news to the captive, setting them free, good news to the poor, to the lame, the left out. So it's natural John wasn't comfortable, but Jesus insists that that's the way things need to be. Jesus knew his place was in the muddy waters with people, in that in-between place between being held captive, bound by life, by people, by things, by systems, and being completely free, and being the totally loving person that God intends all of us to be. Remember that from this point, Jesus leaves and goes where? Jesus goes to the wilderness, where everything that he was and who he was would be called into question. So what happens right before the temptations, right before Jesus really starts his ministry, before he heals anyone, before he preaches and teaches and calls disciples? First he hears God's voice saying, "My Lord, you are worthy." So he starts with this affirmation of who he was and to whom he belonged. He hears in that holy moment the voice of God. I mentioned Howard Thurman last week. Thurman said that God dwells in light but emits sound, sings a song, has a vibration. God is audible, not just like a laughing dolphin or a singing bird or a rustling breeze, but a tone, a note. I think it's fascinating. Jesus hears this note, hears his word. God calls him alive. Baptism then equips Jesus to do what he had come to do, to proclaiming that the reign of God, God's vision, was present, was at hand, inviting others to join in that vision, to call people back to a way of life that is shaped by God's will and not by the power of destruction and hate and oppression. So if we want to really go deeper into baptism, go deeper into the River Jordan. If we want to reclaim our baptism, that's a good place to start. First, to realize we've been pronounced worthy. Each of us. Doesn't mean we're perfect. It doesn't mean we're better than anyone else. And it's not only for people baptized. I think God proclaims all of us worthy. But it is accepting that affirmation from God, our Jesus identity. We're worthy because God says so. But nobody can take that name from us. Nobody can wash it off, scrub it off, beat it off. insulted all, he's there, and it's funny. Second, that we are committed to this family of God's people, committed to being shaped by God's way, and not by Pharaoh's way, Caesar's way, We're given what we need, third, we're equipped to proclaim God's vision in our lives every day in this church. God's already given us what we need and who we need. That to me is one of the messages of baptism. For me, one of the most powerful moments when we do baptize someone here comes when we're asking questions, and it can seem odd, you're holding this beautiful little baby, and you're asking questions about resisting oppression and evil. And I think it should make us squirm a little. But we mean what we say. We are committed to helping the baptized folks, whoever's baptized, and helping each other to do justice, love mercy, and what comes of God. And that means learning how to resist oppression and evil, how to live the God way, how to live as though we believe every life does need to count. So, baptism, then, in effect, the nice, neat, lovely, and totally subversive act. And that's part of why I love it. What is it for you? Can you remember your baptism? Anybody have a good baptism story on you? A reflection from what I said, or Laura does. I mean, Kate.
I do.
Oh, you're looking at your point this way. I thought you meant Kate. Laura has a story.
I do. Okay. It's about Kate and Ben.
Good, even better.
Okay.
Always a good day when you can.
You know, they're thrilled to be here today, so I'm just going to make it worse now. when you said the coming home and crossing Jordan, I had waited for both of them with their adoption for, you know, over a year. And it was so hard because people that really cared would always ask, well, when are they coming home? Is something wrong? And it was just really very trying. So their baptisms were very special because it was a real confirming of family. Friends and family came from out of state. Everybody was there, and it was truly a coming home. Ben was baptized on Mother's Day, a few months after he came home, and Kate was two, and people still talk about what a great party that was after the church service. And she still, her quinceanera last year, we remembered her baptism, and she still can bring a great group of people together to celebrate. So those are two great memories for me. It was very meaningful, and when I see a baptism, you know, it's like reliving it again, and I love how families stand up and friends and people are there to support these children growing up. And it's one of my favorite things too.
Lovely. She survived.
They probably don't remember it either.
James?
I have my own baptism story, I guess, which is a moment of embarrassment for me. I was 8th grade.
Okay.
It was because of between denominations, I think.
Ah,
I'm not sure. My father,
from
Connecticut, was born to an American Baptist church that he grew up in. So he was baptized as an adult, but we were in a congregational church in Guilford, Connecticut. And I was baptized as an infant. And I guess I was overlooked, or I was in between. But they decided I should get baptized when I was confirmed. So I had to. Mine was all the confirmants in the front, but then I was baptized and then confirmed in the same moment. And when I had to kneel down at one point, and my knees cracked. You get the sound. That's what I remember, being so embarrassed. It was so embarrassing. Everyone paying attention to me because my knees are cracked. So that's my moment of extreme embarrassment.
sisters and our family can participate in something like that. Our special even if sometimes some of the ritual gets lost on me. I think I was just I was baptized as an infant also, and I think the main thing about I certainly don't remember it, and my sisters were 2 years younger than me and 3 years younger, so I don't really remember theirs either. But what I will say is, you know, I know the church that I was baptized in, and by this time it's been long torn down in the little town where my mom lives, but I have fond memories of that church, you know, even part of it from a child. But today, when I watch baptisms, I think one of the pieces that means the most to me is how we as a community affirm that we will stand behind the upbringing of the child, you know. And I think it just affirms the community that the church is. And it's a good reminder to be caring for others who are not part of our meeting.
When I was baptized, my parents did not go to church. I was, went to church before I was in the Baptist church, and I was baptized as a young teenager. My parents came to the baptism, but afterward, it was a day like And if you run out, I have to run.
Around